What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hello, good friends. Good to see you again on the Bill Press Pod with a very special guest today. Well, you know, with Congress basically in a holding mode, not getting much done, more and more of the action on the policy front has been shifting back to the states, both red and blue. And for several years, the leader among blue states in adopting progressive policies has been the state of Illinois under Governor J.B. Pritzker. A highly successful businessman and Democratic activist, Pritzker was first elected governor in 2018 and then reelected for a second term in 2022. As Illinois' 43rd governor, he's led the nation on protecting women's reproductive rights, banning assault weapons, rebuilding infrastructure, legalizing recreational use of marijuana, ending cash bail, and outlawing the banning of books in school libraries. And in the summer of 2024, he'll be hosting the Democratic Convention in Chicago. But first today, it's an honor for us to host Governor Pritzker on the Bill Press Pod. Governor Pritzker, good to talk to you again. Welcome to the podcast. So tell us, how are things going in the great state of Illinois?
Well, thanks, Bill. Good to hear your voice. And things are going well. We had a productive session. We passed our fifth balanced budget in a row. And in a state where the prior Republican governor couldn't get a budget passed for 2 years, we're pretty proud of the fact that Democrats have brought fiscal discipline and compassion to state government. And so we're funding education at a higher level than we have ever before. We have more college scholarships and more funding for our universities. And then I have spent 20 years in the early childhood development space before I was governor. And so I, getting through the pandemic and balancing the budget allowed me to implement a new program called Smart Start Illinois. So we're funding preschool for everybody in the state, every child. And then we're expanding childcare and other programs. 0 to 5 is highly important to me and makes a huge difference in the future of our state. So thanks for asking. Things are going very well here.
Yeah. That is the most important part, I think, of education. And I know it's been a high priority of yours for some time. And there are some other initiatives, Governor, I want to ask you about. But first, breaking news, and I just have to ask you, in the last few days, we've moved into uncharted territory in this country with the first former president ever indicted on federal charges. Donald Trump now twice impeached, twice indicted. What's your take on this, and what do you think it means for the country?
Well, first of all, this former president has, I think, demonstrated for years now that he doesn't care about the future of our country. In fact, he's all in it for himself. And now as the front runner for the Republican nomination, once again in 2024, he's been indicted for espionage. Hard to believe. The other candidates and the GOP senators and congresspeople are rushing to forgive him for his traitorous acts. And it's a sad day. In a way, though, I'm proud that the Department of Justice and the people who are, defending our Constitution have taken, what is a challenging step to indict a former president, but it's the right thing to do.
And it does seem, doesn't it, Governor, that what goes around comes around, because you and I remember in 2016, the heart of Donald Trump's campaign was accusing Hillary Clinton of mishandling confidential documents.
And I think you're going to see over and over again the clips of Donald Trump saying that, you know, anyone who reveals secrets should be disqualified from being president of the United States. He said that over and over and over again. And yep, that those chickens are going to come home to roost.
Yes, it looks like they have. So, Governor, you're under your administration, looking at, you know, more and more of the states, they always say the laboratories of democracy, right? And I think states have become even more so because the Congress isn't doing much. So it's up to the states to move, which you've done in some very progressive ways. I want to ask you about a few of those initiatives and tell us what Illinois has done. Let's start with reproductive rights for women. Where does Illinois stand?
Well, let's start with the fact that this is a state, and I believe the entire nation, is pro-choice. And when the Dobbs decision came down, it was clear that we needed to double down on our efforts to protect a woman's rights and a woman's right to choose. So, you know, in the wake of that decision, we did exactly that. I want to remind you that in Illinois, when I became governor, we passed the Reproductive Health Act, and established the fundamental right in our state for a woman to get an abortion and to get reproductive rights cared for. And then, you know, we've passed a number of other bills since then. But when Dobbs was passed, it made it clear that we were going to be an island in the country, in the Midwest. And, you know, people come from hundreds of miles, indeed more than 1,000 miles from Illinois in order to exercise what should be a fundamental national right. But they have to come to Illinois to actually exercise it. So we funded those programs, made sure that we were welcoming, made sure we protected their privacy, because there are some states that are trying to outlaw everything about abortion. And so we've made tremendous progress. Not only passed a number of bills to do that, but my administration's issued executive orders. And I believe that we need to be a beacon for women across the country. And most importantly, an oasis, a place that people know that they can come and exercise those rights. So I'm going to support every candidate I can who's pro-choice and who's going to make this entire nation pro-choice. We have a president of the United States who believes in a woman's right to choose, and we need to make sure he gets reelected.
Do you find the people of Illinois support that policy, support that program?
Oh, fun! You should have seen what happened. You know, beginning in the summer of 2022, when the Dobbs decision came out, people came out in the streets and protested. I mean, it was, you could tell there was a rush of anger and a decision that had been made by people who had been sitting on the sidelines that they needed to get active. They needed to show up and go to the polls. And we saw that especially in the suburbs in the November election here in Illinois. So my expectation is that those same people, as they are reminded over and over again by the terrible policies being put forward by Ron DeSantis and by Mike Pence and other candidates for president on the Republican side, that they're going to, you know, once again see their rights being attacked, and they're going to show up in 2024 in droves.
One other issue where Congress is very reluctant, they won't even talk about it, is gun safety. Despite a record number of mass shootings in this country, again, Governor, Illinois has moved forward under your administration. Where do things stand now? What have you been able to do?
Well, you know, I visited with the president in Washington a year ago and brought with me the mayor of Highland Park and the commander of the Highland Park Police. It was shortly after the terrible mass shooting in Highland Park. And the president pledged to us that he's going to work to his last breath to make sure that we ban assault weapons in the nation, that we ban high-capacity magazines, and that we make our streets safer and our communities safer with gun safety legislation. Now, it's hard to do in a Congress that's Republican, a House that's Republican, a Congress that's divided. The Senate is, you know, really just about 50-50. And so I understand why it hasn't happened yet. But here in Illinois, we took action. We actually have banned assault weapons. We banned high capacity magazines. We banned switches that turn a, you know, a regular gun into an automatic weapon. This has been an important change, and the people of Illinois overwhelmingly support this. We have universal background checks in Illinois already. We have a firearms owner identification card that allows us to track to make sure that people are eligible actually to get a gun if they want to go purchase one. So we've taken real action in Illinois, but it's not enough. We're surrounded by states that have lax gun laws, Indiana, Missouri, Wisconsin, Iowa, Kentucky. So, you know, it's challenging, but nevertheless, again, we're an oasis in the middle, in the Midwest. We are going to protect our people as best we can from gun violence, and in particular from these assault weapons.
Now, I remember growing up around Wilmington, Delaware, Governor, that around the courthouse, there were all these little bail bondsmen, all that kind of stuff. I was surprised to see that that's something you've moved on to in Illinois, getting rid of cash bail, right? Why?
Well, the Safety Act, which is what it's called here in Illinois, it was passed to bring an end to a system where wealthy, violent offenders can buy their way out of jail, while less fortunate, nonviolent offenders wait in jail for a trial. Sometimes they may have need only about $1,000 to get out of jail, but they just don't have it. And by the way, you're taking nonviolent offenders often, keeping them in jail. They're losing their job because they can't go to work. And these are nonviolent offenders again. And so they can't even earn the money to that would be required for bail. And at the same time, again, violent offenders, often wealthy people or, you know, people who just have those resources. It could be that they're repeat offenders of a different sort, maybe a former drug dealer who's got money. It's not that they went and earned it anywhere in a legal way, but they can buy their way out. So Republicans have tried for years now to twist the meaning of, you know, bail reform by confusing voters and spreading misinformation, lying about the truth. And this act, with the clarifications that we've made in trailer bills and so on, helps to right the wrongs of policies that have been disproportionately harming low-income marginalized communities. And I'm proud of the work that we've done. There's, you know, the Republicans in Illinois, when they lose at the ballot box, when they lose in the legislature, they try to take things to court. They go venue shopping for a local court that has a Republican judge. And then, you know, we have to battle our way through the appellate process into the Illinois Supreme Court. And we're doing that now on the Safety Act. But I am confident that we're going to be able to effectuate this law that was supposed to already go into effect, but probably by the beginning of next year.
Again, our guest today, Governor J.B. Pritzker, from the state of Illinois, 43rd governor of the state of Illinois. So, Governor, when Ron DeSantis is out on the campaign trail, when he's not talking about how strong he is to take on the Disney Corporation, which I still find strange for a Republican to be so anti-business, but he's talking about, he's proud of that he's cleaned the bookshelves in school libraries and banned books right and left, which he says is a great achievement of his. You take a different approach in Illinois.
Yes, we do. And of course, Ron DeSantis and the entire GOP field of candidates talk about freedom. They talk about standing up for freedom. But what do they want to do? They want to take away a woman's right to choose. They want to take away your right to read a book in a library. You know, literally, they are anti-freedom. And it's so George Orwell 1984 that they talk about freedom while they're taking away your freedom. In Illinois, of course, we paid very close attention to this. And we've done several things. Number one, back in the municipal elections that occurred, library boards and school boards back in April, I became very involved. So did the Democratic Party of Illinois in making sure that people knew who the extremist candidates were that were running for these local school boards and library boards, the folks who want to ban books, the folks who want to you know, implement Don't Say Gay or you know, and frankly, to marginalize people in our schools. And we won. We won in most places in Illinois, and I'm very proud of the work that we did there. But we went further than that. We also introduced and passed a bill in our General Assembly that bans book bans. Essentially, we're telling libraries that we're not going to fund you if you are a book banning library. And we're requiring American Library Association Library Bill of Rights be adopted by schools, again, if they want to receive funding from the state. So we've taken significant action to fight back against book banning. Ron DeSantis, if he wants to run as the Republican nominee, we can't wait to take him on this issue, because most people understand that their freedom is at stake when they can't read a book that they choose to. And the kinds of books that he's tried to ban in Florida, you know, the biography and autobiography of Hank Aaron, the idea that people can't read what they want to read because the government is going to take away their rights. You talked about the war on Disney. Once again, he's all about freedom, but not when a company disagrees with him. Yeah, then he wants to take away their rights using government power.
And finally, on the issues, the issue of immigration, of course, is always a favorite one for Republicans. And we've seen Ron DeSantis again and Greg Abbott in Texas. Their solution is to put some of these immigrants, refugees who come into the country, on the bus, on a plane, send them to New York, to Martha's Vineyard, to Sacramento, or to Chicago. Governor, how do you deal with this?
Well, yeah, they're treating vulnerable migrant families. These are people who are legally in this country. We've given them asylum, the opportunity to seek asylum, and they're here legally. And they're using them as pawns and sending them all over the country. They think this is beneficial politically for them. But the reality is that, you know, we welcome refugees. My family are refugees. My family came from Ukraine many, many years ago and were escaping the pogroms, which would have meant death for my family. And this is a country made up of refugees and immigrants. We ought to be welcoming them. So we do that here in the state of Illinois, in the land of Lincoln, the home state of Barack Obama. We understand that there is a humanitarian crisis when people are shipped from Texas to Illinois, often against their will, with no help and no support. We know that we need to welcome them. And so we do. We've significantly funded our welcome centers and made sure that we're providing shelter and food, and those kids that are coming here with their families are able to go to school. We're doing everything we can to help them. But it is a humanitarian crisis. And apparently, Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott don't understand that. They don't care about these people. And their view is they're chattel and can be sent anywhere, even against their will.
Have you had a chance to talk to Governor Gavin Newsom from California, my governor, about possible kidnap charges against DeSantis or Abbott?
Well, I talk to him, I would say somewhat frequently, but I've not talked to him about this subject. I know that we're both pretty busy. We talk about a lot of things together.
Right.
I'm always jealous when, you know, California is running a $90 billion surplus and not so jealous when it's running a $30 billion deficit. And I often joke with him that, you know, if he could just send some of his $90 billion surplus our way, you know, we'd be very appreciative. But again, we don't want his deficits. The California has got a bigger problem even than we do, right? There's 39 million people in California. It's a large state. It's a border state. And so it's got its own challenges. Here in Illinois, you know, we don't expect as many immigrants and migrants as we get. But when they arrive here, we do everything we can to support them.
Right. So, Governor, we are already into the 2024 presidential campaign, maybe starting too early, maybe not, but that's where we are. And you'll be playing a big role in that. We're going to take a quick break here on the Bill Press Pod. Then we'll come back. I want to talk to you about 2024. And today's podcast with Governor J.B. Pritzker is brought to you by the Laborers International Union of North America, or LIUNA, L-I-U-N-A, as they call themselves. Over 500,000 strong, the men and women of the Laborers Union
under their new president, Brent Booker, who just took over from our good friend Terry O'Sullivan, who is retired after a great service there at the, as the head of LIUNA. Under new president Brent Booker, the members of the laborers' union active in the construction field, in the energy field, and in healthcare across the nation. And this week, they became the first union to officially endorse Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for 2024. Good for them. We salute all the members of the laborers' union and recommend you check out their website at liuna.org, LIUNA.org.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back with Governor J.B. Pritzker from Illinois, of course, 43rd governor of Illinois, first elected in 2018, re-elected in 2022. And 2024, it's going to be Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. I imagine, knowing you, Governor, you're not going to be sitting on the sidelines in 2024. How active in the campaign are you going to be or want to be?
Already am, and am a, you know, a big supporter of the Biden-Harris ticket. I really think that Joe Biden is, first of all, one of the most empathic people that's ever held the office of president. And he's gotten a lot done, given that we have a divided Congress. I mean, just think about the Inflation Reduction Act and the infrastructure bill and the CHIPS and Science bill and so on. And that was all done with bipartisan support. So I think he's done a terrific job and deserves four more years. And especially when you take a look at what they're offering on the other side of the aisle, we're lucky that we've got someone so terrific and with such great experience leading our nation. I have been not only traveling the country to support the president, but also, you know, a number of press opportunities to make sure that people know that here in the Midwest, we support him. Gretchen Whitmer and Tim Walz and Tony Evers and Andy Beshears and I all have worked together to kind of get the message out there that that Joe Biden is doing a great job and that we need him to support our Midwestern values.
Not worried that he is the ripe age of 80?
You know what? Think about everything that he's gotten done just in the last few years and then tell me you think he's too old for the job. I mean, he's probably gotten more done in this short period of time, what he's been in office for 2.5 years now? Think about what he's done. He saved the country from COVID. He made sure that we got vaccines in arms faster than anybody imagined we could. And again, I talked about all the bills that he got passed that have rescued the economy and made sure that we're moving this country ahead, becoming a manufacturing powerhouse once again, and fighting climate change with, you know, real dollars going to the right things that are helping us build clean energy and making sure that we've got a future of clean jobs that are available to everybody. So I'm not worried about that. What I am worried about, honestly, is the idea that the Republicans can somehow fool people with their candidates, that they'll, you know, certainly attack the president, and that somehow people will believe the attacks and not pay attention to the fact that the leading candidate for the Republican nomination is committing espionage.
So one of the, I've been to a lot of Democratic conventions, Governor. Honestly, one of the best ones I remember, 1996 in Chicago. It was a great party, a great show. Democratic Party's coming back in the summer of 2024. What can we expect? What do you got planned?
Well, we're so excited to welcome everybody back to Chicago. You know, Chicago's hosted more conventions than any other city in the country. That's true. And we know how to do it. And 1996, I remember it vividly as well. You know, summer in Chicago is about the best thing you could imagine. We one of the pitches we made, in fact, in the final throws with the competition with the other cities was that, you know, do you want to be in 105 degrees or do you want to be in the, you know, the beautiful summertime, you know, 81 degrees in Chicago? We also, the United Center was the host, as you know, back in 1996, the venue. That's once again going to be the venue, and of course McCormick Place, and then we've got, you know, the best food, the best hospitality, the best hotels in the entire nation. So it'll be a great convention, and I think a reminder to people also that we're a state that stands up for individual freedom. We talked about some of that, and also for workers' rights. We just passed a workers' rights amendment here in Illinois, and we, you know, we believe in the power of collective bargaining. And we're a state that shows that off and very proud of it. We are the, you know, the state that really created the first unions in the nation. And so this is all part of, I think, a message that'll be heralded in the summer of 2024 at the Democratic Convention.
Well, we look forward to a replay of 96. We forget about the 68 convention. Let's just forget about that one, right? But 96, the best part I remember was the big party out on the Navy Yard. Isn't that what it's called? Navy Pier, I guess.
Navy Pier, yes. And we've got a lot of parties planned for you, I promise you. Some of the best venues for parties. And you know, we have some of the best performers coming as well. So I think it's going to be a terrific, terrific summer and a great convention. I hope to see you when you're here.
Well, Governor, you remind me, it's been a couple of years since I've been out to Chicago and to your great state. So I've got to get back and say hello in person. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks for your good work. And we'll see you down the road, Governor Pritzker.
Thanks, Bill.
And that's it for today's podcast. Good to have Governor J.B. Pritzker with us. He's doing a great job there in Illinois. Good to have all of you with us, too. We'll be back Friday for the Reporters Roundtable to look back on what promises to be, a very, very newsy week with the Trump indictment, Trump's appearance in court in Miami. Now we've seen the charges themselves. We've seen the documents. They are devastating. So we'll take a look at that, and we'll see if by the end of the week, Kevin McCarthy has gotten back in control of the Republican caucus in the House, or are things still out of control with the Freedom Caucus running the show and not the Speaker of the House? Lots to talk about on the roundtable. That's Friday. So have a great week, folks. Come back and see us on Friday for the next edition of the Bill Press Pod.